we were in the middle of House Bill 1017, and I, as the majority floor leader, my job was to get the votes in the House, which we did. But it was a tough, you know, that was, as you know, I mean, it was a very tough issue. You know, who could argue? I never viewed it as a liberal conservative. I viewed it as a pro-education issue. I viewed it as vital. We, unfortunately, had a few members lose their seats over the issue, but I look back on my time, John. I think that was probably one of the focal points, one of the transformational pieces of legislation that I was glad to be involved in and honored to be involved in.
Let me just describe what it was. House Bill 1017. It raised taxes to fund major reforms in public education, including higher teacher pay, smaller classes, statewide standards, and new programs for students. So when you read that, who could be against it? And so was it the taxes, raising taxes, that became an issue?
It was. And
you know, we've been having this discussion. We let people to know that you are a Democrat. And had the Democrats been running the state, or had the Republicans started to move in?
Well, no. In 1990, the Democrats had been in the majority since statehood. So the change occurred about 12 years later. I think the House changed parties, my recollection is, in 2004, and then the Senate followed suit in 2000. Well, they tied in 06, and then in 08, the parties changed. So it was still Democrat, but frankly, and I tried to do this on every issue that I had when I was Speaker, it was not a party line vote. Again, there were more Democrats than Republicans, but we had, in my view, significant Republican support, quite candidly, a number of them from the Tulsa area.
Yes.
That were very, you know, I think John Bryant, Rob Johnson, Bill Veach, I mean, I still remember, they were very, very supportive of the 1017.
But I do remember Senator Charlie Ford was against it.
He was.
Yeah.
And others, and frankly, there were some Democrats that didn't support it.
We should say that Henry Bellman, a Republican, ended up signing it. So, again, the opposition, was it because of the taxes?
I think so. And I might add to your comment, John, we wouldn't have had 1017 without Henry Bellman. Henry Bellman provided, in my view, extraordinary leadership on that issue and stayed very engaged and hooked up on it even when it became tough. But no, to your question, why would there be opposition? There were some that if we had gone through with the oil downturn in the mid-80s, oil went from $43 a barrel down to $11 a barrel. Because of our dependence at that time, which was even more then than now, on energy and oil production, created huge gaps in our budget, like $300 million shortfalls. And so, you know, you look at what you would call that to provide revenue just to stay even, you're going to have to come up with $250 or $350 million. Yes, you could say it's a tax increase. The flip side is you're investing in education to provide for smaller class sizes, which all the data showed, if the teacher or student experience involves more one-on-one experiences, the learning opportunity is going to be enhanced. Teacher pay, getting it to the regional average, having more emphasis on the core curriculum. I mean, all that was the crux of House Bill 1017. But for those that weren't for it, the fact that there was a revenue increase involved, that was the reason they did not support it.
But when you look at this, compared to what's actually happening today in our state, higher teacher pay, smaller classes, statewide standards, new programs for students, some of that may be. Well, right now, I believe Oklahoma ranks near the bottom, even in teacher pay.
Right.
So what happened?
Well, I think through the years, segments of it were amended. Times changed. Philosophies changed. I will say this, and I do need to say it and believe it. I believe what we did at the time there in 1989 and 1990 was absolutely the right thing to do. I think it was needed and necessary, and I think it positioned us at that time very well vis-a-vis other states. Again, times change, circumstances change, those in the leadership positions change. And as a result, you know, nothing is forever. But I look back on that and have never had any regrets about strongly supporting House Bill 1017.
Right. And let me just interject here. Henry came to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and he signed it at my wife's Margaret's school, Marshall Elementary. Margaret was the principal, and State Superintendent Sandy Garrett actually selected Marshall for the signing.
She was standing right there.
Yes, she was. And I was standing on the other side, and we still have a picture of that in her office, as a matter of fact. That's how important
it
was.
And that's in Henry Bellman's book. Do you know that picture is in Henry Bellman's book?
I didn't know
it
that.
It is, yeah.
And
yeah.
Right.
No, I was there for that.
Sure.
I mean, I think his leadership was crucial. And he brought some people to the table. You may remember the name Pete Silas, who at that time was chairman of the board of Phillips Petroleum, very involved in the effort. Joe Williams with the Williams Companies in Tulsa, mm-hmm. extremely involved. And Governor Bellman brought them to the forefront. The Tulsa World was a critical player and a key player on House Bill 1017. Alex Adwan, of course, Bob Lorton, Ken Neal, David Averill, they all were, you know, they were vocal, and it mattered. So it was a good effort. And then, as you recall, John, the next year in 91, there was an effort to repeal it. So we, to some degree, we had to reignite the campaign again and go around the state to make sure that the state question to repeal House Bill 1017 did not get off the ground. And it didn't. We were able to successfully stave off the repeal effort.
Right. I've interviewed Henry Bellman for Voices of Oklahoma. You saw him work and negotiate, probably. And, of course, he was that low-key sort of person. And you could describe and talk about him as you were around him.
My feelings about Governor Bellman changed as time moved on. Upon his election, I didn't know him. Turns out one of my roommates in college from Tulsa, Rob Gardner, his dad, Roy Gardner, was police and fire commissioner in Tulsa and had been the regional director for HUD in Tulsa, and he and Governor Bellman were close. So that was my initial connection. Governor Bellman said, your son, Roy Gardner's a good friend of mine, his son's a good friend of yours. And so we started working together. I was appropriations chair during the middle of his time, and we worked together on budget matters. As time moved on, I just gained more and more respect for his leadership style, his integrity. I particularly respected him, John. He didn't really listen to the political winds. And I mean, you look at his career in the U.S. Senate, you know, he voted for the Panama Canal. I mean, he had a pretty, I think it would be fair to say, a pretty gutsy voting record in the U.S. Senate. And he brought that here. I mean, his first year, he looked at the numbers. We were still in an economic downturn. He said, we're going to have some revenue here to operate the state. So I respected him for kind of calling it like he saw them. He was certainly, his principles were conservative. But on 1017, just an example, he saw the need, and I think he was not concerned at all about what the political consequences were going to be for him. He saw the need and saw that we needed to do it. And for that, he has then and still has my great respect. I think he's one of the great governors we had in Oklahoma. When I was president of Southeastern, I had him come I taught a class there every other semester. Had him come on a couple of different occasions, and he was delightful. He'd spend the night, and of course, I said, I'll get up when you get up, Governor. And he said, well, I get up pretty early. I said, you just tell me and I'll get up. Well, he got up like at 4 a.m. So I had a couple mornings there that was a couple hours ahead of my normal routine. But he was a farm boy all the way through, but in my view, a great Oklahoman.
There have been many people who say that wish we had a Henry Bellman here today, 2026.